2 Corinthians chapter 11, chapter 11, verse 1. Well, we really should go one verse up. 10, verse 18. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. He's talking about us as a body. Do you all know what the Bible calls fornication and adultery? It's not just doing the dirty deed. It's not just thinking about doing the dirty deed. That's what Christ said. But Hosea says fornication and adultery is to go to anyone and look to anyone or anything but God for your sustenance, for your food, for your clothing, for your shelter. And for you to be a chaste virgin, we must emphasize that truth, that if you look to the work of your hands to provide, then you've missed the mystery, and your work will be a drudgery, and you'll be under the curse, because all the Holy Spirit can do is fight against you. You understand that? So if you believe the lie of this, that you are gaining something by your intelligence or by your guile or by your work or by your good looks or anything, then you are committing spiritual adultery. If you're a believer, if you say you're a believer, can you understand that? That's real critical. And by definition then, you cannot be a chaste, you cannot be presented perfect in Christ, because you're always going to be working under that which is cursed. Does everybody understand that? All right. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. How did the serpent beguile Eve? He caused her to believe that she needed more than she had. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted because I preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. When I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory they may be found even as we are. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Now that's what each of us do when we fill ourselves up with something. We transform ourselves into an angel of light. We become hypocrites. And if you're in an environment which demands hypocrisy, that's even the more reason why you must empty yourself. If your environment, work, if your workplace or wherever doesn't permit this in your mind, it doesn't permit this kind of gut level honesty. The only reason it doesn't permit it is your mind is trying to transform itself into the thing that they are as opposed to who you are. And by you emptying yourself and being you in that environment, it can cause unbelievable explosions and transformations. I mean, I don't know how to explain it. I don't care if you work for, you know, it used to be the Big Eight. What is it now? The Big Three or Big Six? Or if you work for an oil company or what you do, there is never an environment that you are in which you should be any different there than you are here. And if you're weak here, you need to be weak there. Whatever it is, be who you are in every environment that you're in. I mean, if you're one way here and another way with your parents, or one way here and another way with your kids, or one way here and another way at school, or what, you know, all of the infinite, then you're transforming yourself into some kind of an angel, something different than you really are. And you're aping the world systems, and you're not going to, I mean, you will always be in this position of trying to fill yourself up with something. Is that, am I communicating? All right. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For you suffer fools gladly. That's something I don't do very well. Why do I love that phrase so much? You suffer fools gladly. That's, I mean, before I knew anything in the Bible, I knew that.
Sounds like something Shakespeare.
I think you probably did.
It's like a truth.
You suffer fools gladly, seeing you yourselves are wise and speaking foolishly.
It's so fucking sarcastic. It's unbelievable. It would be impossible to be more sarcastic.
Shut up.
Well, that's probably what you have.
For you suffer if a man bring you into bondage, or you allow it if a man bring you, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you in the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more often, more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities, or my weaknesses. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that which he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. There's a type of weakness which we all can recognize. It's instantaneous. You can see it, you can smell it, and it's manipulative weakness. And it's not weakness at all. It's using something else as another thing to gain your own way. So in truth, it's strength. But weakness is this moment of I don't know how to explain it. It takes a great deal of courage to be weak. The courage to say, I'm afraid. The courage to say, you've hurt my feelings. The courage to say, I'm confused. The courage to have no friggin' idea what's going to happen next. But to never, in that weakness, you can never be a victim. We've been taught wrong. We've been taught to use these confessions or these moments as a manipulative way to get our own way. But the idea of just emptying ourselves and confessing the weakness, because we know by faith that when I am weak is when the power of God rests upon me. That can transform your life. It can transform a marriage. It can transform a business. It can transform a body. And it can't be programmed. It can't be liturgized. You know, we could start. Okay, everybody confess your weakness. It can't be done. But there's a moment. There's a moment when you choose to fill yourself up with self and go on the defensive if you're in a discussion with somebody.
The same moment, like Jacob decides to do his thing with the tantrum.
Right, and it's the same thing that you decide to do when you start justifying yourself.
I don't know much about that.
Taking that position immediately. You start to feel afraid, you start to feel anxiety, because it's like, you know, at your core, it's that you're going against the big guy, and, you know, and all of that means, you know, I mean, you can try to think it away, you can try to, you know, whatever, do whatever way, but that fear is what that is.
And you can see it. You can see it on somebody's face when they're going through it. The countenance changes. You can, I mean, if your senses are attuned, you start to be able to smell it. And it becomes the most odious thing in the universe towards you. To me, I mean, I can't stand it. I when I see it happening in one of you, I go, my instinct is to kill. Some of you have experienced that. Because it is so totally and completely violent against the kingdom of God. It is like taking some kind of a garish, terrible weapon and just cutting up the bride of Christ into pieces. Am I communicating with any of you?
It's only like within the last 30 seconds or 4 days that I have, it's gotten through to me this thing about what the Holy Spirit does and how in the flesh you can be nothing but the enemy of the Holy Spirit, which means he's your enemy and all he can do is kick your butt. And it's only just now come through up here to realize what a foolish thing to choose to make the Spirit of God your enemy, to try and fight against the Spirit of God.
Well, when you say the Spirit of God, put it in an analogous statement. It's you make the power of God your enemy. The thing that happens, and again, we are told to look, that the things that can be known of God are revealed in that which is made. One of the cardinal principles that we all learn in general sciences is that nature abhors a vacuum. A vacuum cannot exist in nature unless it's contrived. Because something rushes in to fill the vacuum. Because the mystery is that emptying is what's the attraction to fill. And it's revealed in the violence of the weather here is because the sun heats certain areas of the earth, and the heat causes the air to rise and creates a low pressure zone, and that low pressure is trying to form a vacuum, and the winds rush in to fill it, and the more violent that contrast is, the more violent the storms are. And that's our job. Our job is to create the most violent storm that mankind and the universe has ever seen by creating here, in this room, in this body, a vacuum. And we create that vacuum by emptying ourselves of self.
I get this loop of fear. Feeling guilty about fearing, like if I really had the faith, then I wouldn't fear, and I feel guilty about that. And fear again, it's like, you're talking about a vacuum and a tornado, it's just like.
See, but the point of it is that you're slowly coming to is that you are beginning to see that nothing in this book can be done alone unless you're Jesus Christ. Once you see that, then your weakness becomes a blessing. And you can say to your weakness, fuck you. Let it be weak, instead of trying to fill it up. You can say to your mistakes, I don't care about my mistakes. Let them. You can say to your everything, pah. You know, again, God didn't call the people that are righteous, that are right. God didn't call the people that got their act together. He called the ones that at a core spot in their being know their own weakness.
It's not social Darwinism.
This isn't a place that you get better. This is a place you get weaker. I've said so often, thank God if you're ugly, it reduces your options. Thank God if you're poor, it limits your possibilities. We are a group of homeless failures and other offscoring of society. That's who we are. That's what we do.
What's the money?
We are a group of people that have said no more acting. Do you understand? I want you to understand what a complete and total comfort it is for me to know that I can't make it anywhere else. I mean, I can't even survive. I don't believe that. He can do anything he wants to. I can hear his voices. And his, huh? Well, I couldn't survive. Now, I hate to say this. I couldn't survive without Harry and Barbara. But don't you see, the lie is when we have all of these unlimited options.
Truth matters, Crystal mentioned this the other time. And most of them, when you reach a certain age, experientially, they've been wiped out. So then it becomes like illusionary options. That's all that's left. All the real options are gone. So it becomes
another one of those stages in life where there's a chance to repent.
But anyway, what I want you to get to see, the only thing that we're saying is to stop the game playing. Stop insisting on your rights. Woe unto him that uses weakness as a weapon. Because then it's not weakness, obviously. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, let's go where we just got from.
11.
We're still in, I mean, we're now in verse 12, or chapter 12. Therefore I take, well, no, it's where we just read.
10.
Yeah.
Oh, 10.
Therefore, verse 10, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. It's like, you know, what's a good analogy? It's like taking pleasure because I finally got enough strength to lift the coffee cup. And God is lifting the whole house. And I don't know it unless I put a coffee cup down. I mean, I don't know if it was in here and in stealth. Did I talk about it in here that my greatest fear or where I was weakest in my entire life was in two things? Teaching and preaching in my mind. I don't think you believe me.
Well, I don't think our opinion has anything to do with the reality.
It doesn't make any impact on you if you don't believe it. It's like I'm talking about, I'm asking a pig to fly. I have become a fool in glory, and you have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and deeds. For what is it wherein you were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Behold, the third time I'm ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. I seek not yours, but you. Do you understand what he's saying? For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. But be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same steps? I don't understand how there can be, you know, how you can like have a preacher or a teacher or something and that doesn't live with you.
Some did.
Huh? No, I mean, like, how could you go to a church like where you didn't know them or didn't have any intercourse with them or any, where there was no, because then there would never be, the words would never be life, they would be an ideal.
That's what's convenient about it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand that. How did that happen? How did we go from meeting in homes to having these huge buildings and pews and somebody elevated up above you? I don't understand how that happened.
It became acceptable. As soon as it became acceptable, then
that's the same thing you said the other day. You know, at one time, originally, when there was revelation, synagogue met in the field, couldn't meet the building, no protection, right? And everybody had to go to all three pilgrimage feasts. And then slowly but surely, you don't have to really do this, you don't have to really do that. There's just concession after concession after concession made to the flesh. The flesh does not want to be confronted in all places at all times. It wants a safe place to go.
The flesh wants to be comfortable.
The bigger the place.
Nothing about it there's nothing about any of that that is comfortable.
Right. Well, we can pay somebody to do all
right.
that stuff for us.
So Rutledge really was right when he said that most people go to church once a week to get God's seal of approval on their greedy lifestyle.
I mean, the preachers are doing it for sorry gains. It's a profession for them. It's just a job. I mean, it's just a
so you go
thing.
Once a week for an hour, and the guy says, okay, you're absolved. Come back in a week.
There was a guy who came here one night, Mario. And this has happened six times now. He called me on the phone and goes, well,
is there any coffee?
I'm leaving our my minister of music at Lake Country Christian Church, and I'm moving over to Don Church. And of course, a great deal. I'm getting a better salary, an apartment, a couple more perks, and da-da-da. And I just know this is what God wants me to do. I prayed about my wife, and God is leading us there, and he's opened up this door. No doubt this is God's will.
The Lord spoke to me and told me to have sex with you.
4 months later, he calls me. He tells me, hey, man, there's another church wants to pay me $5,000 more, another part-time, and then it's. I know it's God's will. We prayed about it, and God wants us there. We know we're in God's will.
What is God's will? That's the only way to find
it. But it's always the money first and the better deal. And then it's God's will.
But it, you know, it's like, I don't know, it's in me that's, I'm not, I don't know, I hope you can sense, I'm not criticizing them. I don't mean to be critical. I'm trying to say, I don't understand. And I pray that, I mean,
so once you set foot into that church and you see what's going on, you have no choice but to start putting all that crap out. And they're only going to hear criticism.
Well, I'm not going to do that, but I'm just saying that I was here trying to figure out how, I mean, because I've just been dealing with this, trying to get this guy a $108,000 job. Here I am, I make $4,000 a year, I'm trying to get a guy a $108,000 job. That's just ludicrous. Well, let's go on here. Well, I want to, we don't have time to go through all of it. Go over to chapter 13, verse chapter 13, verse 3. And since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him, or shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Now, if you can understand that, those two verses, you can understand why the flesh gets this imagery that if somebody is preaching, that they're strong. Do you understand what I'm saying?
They got it right.
They got it right. They got their act together. And that's why it's so vital that you have to know, you have to know the weaknesses and the foibles and the mistakes of the person that's speaking. Otherwise, the word of God will be a fairy tale to you. You have to know the weakness of the person speaking it. Otherwise, you can't. There's no life in it. And so, therefore, that's why. It says the words he spoke were spirit and life. The reason they were spirit and life in Christ, and the reason they were spirit and life in Paul, is because they produced death in the speaker. They produced the words themselves expose the weakness. And that's a weird thing. Well, this next one. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove or test your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? Now, we have the definition of a reprobate here. Someone that doesn't know that Jesus Christ is in you, then you're a reprobate if you don't know that. And a reprobate is what? A reprobate is one that's incapable of repentance. The reason you're if you don't know Jesus Christ is in you, and he's your true life, you can't repent. All you can do is be sorry. If you know Jesus Christ is in you, and he is revealed in your weakness, then you can afford to totally turn from self. Do you understand that? Otherwise, if you don't know he is your life, then there's going to be this, you'll have to protect the weakness. You'll have to keep that because somebody might take advantage of you.
So it's like you don't know that there's something bigger than weakness.
Right.
You think weakness is...
Right. And you despise weakness. You've been taught since childhood to despise weakness. And most religions teach you to despise Christ by trying to make you strong. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. But I trust that you shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do that which is honest, though we be as a reprobate. You understand what he's saying?
Not that though we be as a reprobate part.
It doesn't matter. Paul is not in any way using them for his own sustenance. He's saying, even if I'm a reprobate, even if I am totally incapable, believe for the words. Doesn't matter. It's the same thing as he said earlier. I'd slay me and save them. I'd give my life for the sake of the brethren. Throw me in the depths of hell and I'll love you anyway.
Truth is the truth, no matter who.
Yeah.
And even if I'm doomed, I still pray that you do know.
Right.
For your sake.
Right. But here's the most important one, and this is the one in his next couple verses. For we can do nothing against the truth. Can that ring in some part of your being? You can do nothing against the truth. if you could do something, if you can imagine you're doing something against the truth, it'd be like you were fighting eternity. I know. I'm gonna go to war with eternity.
Be extremely powerful.
Or gravity. Go fly.
Yeah. Let's stop continental drift. But don't you see that a great deal of your self-loathing? Some of you love to loathe yourself. Oh. Oh. Loathe, loathe, loathe. The depth of loathing is revealed in the depth of self-justification. And you can see, if you can see what we've studied tonight, that can be over forever. That the blood of Christ has cleansed you from all loathing. How dare you from ever again declare unclean what God has declared clean? For we can do nothing against the truth. Can I go over to Colossians? I thought we spent 4 months in Colossians in morning Bible study. Let's read a little bit about Christ. Chapter 1, verse 13. Verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance. Now, not someday, partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us, past tense, from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. It's more dramatic in the Greek. It says, has delivered us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. We're not members, we're not part of this world, we're not part of this race, we're not human beings. We're not subject to the things that the Gentiles are, we're not subject to the things the world is. We have been translated into a different creation. We are different creatures, we are different race. Both in genetics, and value systems, and language, and culture. We are no longer living in the world of reward and punishment. We are no longer living in the world of impulse response, of cause and effect. We are no longer in the kingdom of self. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have, now this is a description now of this new kingdom, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Even the forgiveness of sin, the forgiveness of self, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. If you think that you need something, then I have failed, because I haven't presented you perfect in Christ Jesus. If you think that you need to change, if you think that you need to, you know, you need more forgiveness, if you think you need to be better, if you think you need anything this moment, then I have failed and I have no purpose. If I tell you that you need to be different than you are in any way, then I have failed, because I can't present you perfect in Christ Jesus. And if you believe anything other than you are standing perfect in Christ Jesus, and for you, Christ has died in vain. Now, for some of you, it sounds real sincere to say, oh, I'm just this poor piece of flesh. No, you're not. You're a vessel that contains the God of the universe. You're part of a mystery that all of the words that have ever been spoken can't explain fully. That the mystery of the mystery is that it is only revealed in your weakness, not in your trying to be strong. Amen? Feel like talking anymore. Anybody have anything to say? I feel like there's something unspoken or unsaid or it seems like there's something or something you want to say or that you haven't, or did you get troubled when I asked about, it was almost, I think what it was, is when I said, does everybody remember about the people in prison? And you indicated that you did, maybe that you didn't know about it, and then I just left you off. Is that, well, the it's the people that you haven't forgiven from the heart, every last farthing. And you'll keep them in prison until they pay, but there's no prison wardens in the kingdom. So that's why you have to forgive from the heart, everyone. But forgiveness doesn't mean just tolerate it. Forgiveness means an apprehension that you, that you couldn't have seen what you'd see and know who, and be who you are without them having done that. But more, and so it's an appreciation, but it's even more than appreciation. It's you have to go back in your mind in time and protect them
from you.
Oh. That's a biggie. Does everybody understand that? It's big.
That's a biggie.
Okay. Take it, big guy.